This is the Tom Likas Show.
Chicks rarely develop their brains. They don't have to.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No, you didn't.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at KnowMeUptown.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to PremiumTom.com. That's PremiumTom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We have these every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And as always, in this bonus hour on Tuesday, we're joined by attorney Adam Sachs. This week in the guise of family law attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you. What's going on?
Hey, Tom.
What's happening?
What a blast we had on Friday, huh?
That was pretty wild.
And I went with my son and everything. Very dramatic.
Did he have a good time?
Yeah, it was great. The whole thing was totally over the top. I had a blast. He had a blast.
Good.
Thanks for thinking of it.
Well, of course.
Looking forward to whatever the new normal does next.
Well, we're working on it right now.
You know, I was in court the other day, Tom. I was talking to the clerk, and he looks at me kind of funny, and he goes, Adam Sachs, are you somehow affiliated with the New Normal Network? I don't know what you're talking about. Leave me alone.
That's awfully formal.
Wow. So just back off, man. I don't know you. Go away.
Unbelievable.
So, Tom, today I want to talk about family law.
Yes.
And I want to talk about hesitation. Now, we all heard about it in different ways. You've always been very upfront with the guys about, you know, chasing after your dreams and trying to make it happen.
Right.
And I think one of my kind of favorite expressions is you snooze, you lose.
Right.
And it's never more true than in family law. You talk about guys. There's that TV show that you're promoting on YouTube, you know, one of our advertisers.
Yes.
And in that thing, they're kind of talking about, like, these people in dead relationships and years going by. And you know, Tom, that if you're not careful, you hit the 10-year mark, and you can be facing, you know, lifetime payments of spousal support, among other things.
And you don't even have to hit 10 years anymore.
Right, that's right. They can round up. One of the things that's maybe different about the sexes, and you might remember the guest I brought, Aaron Petsy, talked about this a little bit, that the way the sexes are is definitely a different approaches to problems. And one thing, if you look at the statistics, it's factual that more than 80 to 90% of divorces are filed by women. And somehow, and I can't quite put my finger on this, Tom, maybe you'll have a Likas 101 theory for me, but somehow it's remarkable, but women are much more ruthless, that when they decide that they're done with you, and I mean they are fucking done with you, and guys, believe it or not, are a lot more romantic in a way. I don't know if it's like not the right word exactly, but guys are much more hopeful and optimistic that somehow things are going to get better. Remember we teased Tom about how, like, you know, how the sex is and how things are in the relationship at the beginning is usually as good as it's ever going to be. And guys are somehow in bad situations, but they're sort of fantasizing that it's going to turn around or it's going to be better. I saw a play the other day, and the play opens up with this woman just screaming at this guy. And she just goes on and on and on for, like, you know, maybe 15 minutes. And, you know, he wants to keep the relationship going. And she has cursed at him, and she has insulted him, and she's gone down the whole thing. And she picks up her stuff in the play and leaves. And the rest of the play is him trying to get her back. And any rational person standing on the outside would say, you know, what are you talking about? Why would you possibly want to preserve this relationship or rekindle, or I don't even know what the word is. But one of the realities that we've talked about before, which is that, you know, filing first is really important. It gives you the momentum in the case. And so you have women doing it most of the time. A lot of women will start off a divorce matter with a restraining order, which automatically puts you on the defensive as the guy, and then you're automatically considered wrong. It's held against you, assuming it's issued, with respect to issues of custody. So the fact that you've got a restraining order against you, the judge has got that right in front of them when they're considering custody issues. So now, instead of getting equal custody, you're getting 20%. And you're seeing your kids one weekend or two weekends a month or whatever. And this is just a classic thing. Now, when we talk about, you know, and I don't mean to complain about my job, which I love, but when you talk about me getting calls and talking to guys all day long, you know, listeners of this show and so forth, it's fascinating, but I have to walk a very fine line. Because on the one hand, I'm trying to kind of kick them in the ass. And I'm saying, come on, you got to deal with this. You don't have time. She's probably talking to a lawyer right now. She's probably filing. And guys are like, yeah, you're right. I know what you mean. I guess so. I'll call you back. And I know when I'm hanging up the phone that this guy is just, you know, not going to get back for a long time, if ever. And, you know, I could come off like kind of a car salesman and, you know, be a really pushy guy and say, hey, come on, you know, you got to sign. Come on. And I don't want to do that because that's not really fair to the person. But on the other hand, I'm trying to kind of snap them out of their slumber. And I actually have someone. I hope Dino got him. One of my clients is going to be our guest.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to put him on in a moment. What are we calling him, Tom?
We're calling him Gerard.
Gerard, okay. We'll get him on in a second. But, you know, Gerard and I had a conversation. And, I mean, I've kind of got this edge now, Tom, where I'm being accused of being nasty or whatever. But I really try not to be. But I think Gerard got kind of put off by me because I was telling him how urgent it was. And I was saying, come on, man, please. You don't realize that you're sitting on a powder keg. And what ended up happening was is that he ended up sort of backing off. She filed first, which was pretty predictable. And then he hired, would you believe, a different lawyer who basically did absolutely nothing for a couple of months, really dropped the ball, and then finally hired me, and I'm, you know, doing a mop-up job now, which is, you know.
You're fixing a bad brake job.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I just want to talk to all the guys out there. I mean, there's definitely, I don't know, you know, my mother was a therapist. I think you know that, Tom. And I talked about that before. And I can't say that I don't believe in therapy because I do. And you've talked about therapy and how it's helped you in the past. And
sure.
Stuff. And I mean, I sometimes tell people to see therapists, and I don't mean it as an insult. I mean, I think that it's a very helpful thing. I do believe, theoretically, and listen, I know we bash relationships, but if you're married and things aren't going right, if it's a catastrophe, I mean, if she's a heroin addict and a former stripper, okay, you got to get rid of her. But if there's some kind of possibility and you want to go to marital counseling and try to work it out, I think that's okay. You're not against that, right, Tom? You would say that makes sense.
Well, I'm going
to
try
to fix it.
My experience, and I have experience.
This is why I defer to you.
With couples counseling.
No one has experience like you, Tom.
People go to couples counseling, ultimately, at least one of them, if not both.
Pretty close to the end, huh?
So they can say we gave it our best shot.
Okay.
You go to couples counseling, and it's what I call last exit before toll. Because inevitably what the couples counselor will do is begin to stir up. But now, of course, the job of a therapist, when you're in there by yourself, the therapist will confront you about a bunch of issues and try to get you to talk about them. The problem in couples counseling is that you have one person who has one foot out the door and the other who's trying to fix it. It's almost always the same.
So maybe you wait too long.
Well, and no one ever goes to therapy until they're on the way out the door. Like, they're ready to leave today, and the other person prolongs the agony by saying, why don't we go to a therapist? And so then you go to the therapist, and, you know, for example, I went to a couples counselor the last time I went.
So this is MTL4?
No, this was
before that.
This was Argentina.
Okay.
We went to a couples counselor.
Latinos, you shut up.
No, she's Venezuelan.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, getting yourself in the country.
These countries all mixed up.
Right. So what happened was, here I was with Argentina, and things were not working out, and I was not happy. I was not having a good time.
I know
time.
Who she is. She's, we don't need to go out. Now I have you.
No,
that's Argentina?
I don't remember that quote. I'm sure that came up. No, no, no. She's the one who went out threatening to kill herself while I was on the air.
There we go.
And was driving around drunk.
Right.
In a car registered to my name.
And wait, that's the one who flipped out when you went to the motion picture radio museum party.
Could be. No, okay. That was Venezuela, too.
Oh, jeez, I keep hitting Venezuela.
Yeah. No. But anyway, the bottom line is, I finally said to her, I can't take this anymore. Let's go to a couples counselor. But the reality is, I went to visit my couples counselor about 3 or 4 times before I brought her in. And the reason I did that was to say to the couples counselor, look, I know people come here thinking they're going to fix a bad situation. I'm not coming here for that reason. I want out. And I want you to know my agenda before we start, that I'm going to bring her in here. When I do, your job is not to fix this. It can't be fixed.
We ain't fixing shit.
I want out, and she won't leave. So we're going to sit down, and we're going to have that conversation. So literally it was about 3 sessions alone preparing her for bringing in the ex. So I finally bring her in. And the 3 of us are sitting in the room, and the therapist looks out at the 2 of us and says, okay, why are we here?
Tom, what do you want to say?
Well, no, first X speaks, and she says, well, I don't know why we're here. I didn't need to come here. Everything's fine. I don't know what the problem is.
I'm perfectly happy.
So then...
if only he would change.
The therapist says, Tom, what did you want to say? And I said, well, I'm here for a specific reason. And here's why I want you, doctor, to be here, because I'm going to say something, and I need you to make sure that the other person hears what I'm saying, okay? And she said, okay. Of course, she already knows what I'm going to say. I said, so here's what it is, okay? I look over at the ex, I say, I don't want to be with you anymore. Ooh. Don't want to be in a relationship anymore.
Ooh, tell us how you really feel.
I want out. And so she starts saying, well, what about you and all the things you do? And I said, wait a minute. This is not a debate. It's not a debate about who's right and who's wrong. Okay? Blame it on me. I don't care. I want to, yes, but you don't even try. And what about you? So that's when the therapist had to jump in and go, well, you know, did you hear what he just said? I don't even know. I don't care what he said. Everything's fine. I don't know what his problem is. So he wants out, and he doesn't. He wants you to hear that. Did you hear what he said? That he wants to leave? Yeah, but what about him?
Here
that's,
we go again.
That's how bad the communication was. So you see what I'm saying? When I got to that office, we were already well down that road. After trying to resolve issues myself, ultimately, I had to go to the therapist's office, and I had to use the therapist to help me get out of there.
Okay. So, in some cases...
I'm not a believer. I know you might believe in that.
In some cases, it's possible to try to talk things over.
I think most of you are prolonging a bad situation,
okay.
But that's just me.
I'm with you.
Okay.
There's a whole other world of people that just can't face it. So let's get our man on here.
All right, this is Gerard. Are you there, Gerard?
How are you guys?
Hey, how are you, Gerard?
So far, so good.
Doing wonderful. Always wanted to be on your show, Tom. Didn't think it was going to be for this reason, though.
I understand. Here we are.
Well, I'm glad to have invited you anyway, Gerard. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Well, I appreciate the invite. Absolutely. I want to let these guys know my story of transformation. Because
all right, that's good. That's good. Now, as you know, we're not here to beat you up, but it's really important because your experience is good for the other boys. So let's talk about how you originally were kind of, this was leaning this way, you contacted me, and how you reacted.
Yeah, so I came home from a business trip, and my soon-to-be ex had her mother over.
Never a good sign. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Oh, hold on 1 second.
Oh, boy.
Gerard.
Take your headset off. So it doesn't do that. Walked in the house after a business trip and kind of knew there was a weird aura going on. And things hadn't been great for months and months and months. And, of course, you know, because of the child, we'd stayed together. And then I just had this weird vibe. And I called Adam, and he was just absolutely straight up with me. And I I really think deep down I didn't want to believe any of that. I thought that, oh, no, this is completely fixable. I can fix this. I don't need to hire an attorney yet. Well, maybe I do, but maybe I don't. And then, of course, that night she came home and said, I'm done. I want a divorce. And
so, one second. So you had spoken to me because you were, you know, feeling some vibe, right?
Right. I was, my spidey senses were definitely tingling.
Okay. But then ultimately you kind of suppress that a little bit, and then she spells it out for you.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Like, okay. You know, I'm thinking, am I just fucking paranoid? What's going on? No, she's not going to do this. And then she comes home this next night or whatever it was and says, all right, I'm done. I want a divorce. And I said, well, let's go. It's funny because let's go to counseling because we had never been. But she, of course, didn't agree to that. And
all right, don't say of course. Hold on a second. It's important. These are important details. So you thought something was funky. You suggested counseling, and she didn't even want to hear about it.
No, she didn't want to hear about counseling, and I even tried to say, you know, let's not go to counseling to try and see if we can save our marriage. Let's just go to counseling to see if we can save a friendship or something within here.
Okay.
And she wanted nothing to do with it.
Now, when you spoke to me, I was sort of, I don't know, raising the warning flags, right?
Oh, absolutely, telling me what could happen, how we need to jump on this, and that if I'm having these feelings, then they're probably true. And then I had explained to you over the past, what had happened over the past 6 to 8 months, and you were in complete agreement that my intuitions were exactly what was going on.
All right, so here I'm getting more and more alarmed, and you're sort of saying, well, I don't know, I'm not sure.
Right, I was a complete pussy at this point. I mean, I was an absolute limp snot that thought I could, you know, fix this and not get myself trampled over by some woman.
Okay, now, and don't be embarrassed by this. I kind of pissed you off, right?
I wouldn't say pissed me off. I would say put me in fear and kind of pushed me back a little bit, maybe, and making me think that maybe I could solve this on my own without having to go the lawyer route, even.
What did that mean to you? What does solve it on your own mean?
You know, try a couples counseling, try and see if that we can work amicably together to come up with a custody agreement, sell the house, you know, kind of maybe go to mediation before we file suit and all this stuff.
All right, that's all bullshit, right?
That's all complete bullshit.
Okay. So tell me more now. So after we talked, I think you waited a while, and then she filed, right?
Yeah, I waited a while. I actually contacted an attorney here in the town that I live in that was a, you know, father's rights advocate and had, you know, I was just going out getting a couple of different opinions. And, you know, I don't know what it was about this particular guy that I wanted to hire, but I think what it was is he was a little bit more passive, and I thought, well, maybe if I get a lawyer who's not this pit bull going to come in like a steamroller, then we can make this go easy. And that was completely wrong.
I mean, that was the worst choice. All right, I understand, but so you were attracted to hiring him because he was sort of the opposite of me.
Right. And I thought that if I came in with a very easy proposal, that we could get this thing solved very easily with Vex.
So you're sort of also hoping that somehow if you go easy on her, she's going to be cool too.
Right.
Now, that's amazing because she hired one of the nastiest lawyers I've ever dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a prick of a guy. Seriously.
Yes,
I mean, seriously. Tom, this was special, Tom, and I've seen them all, let me tell you. This is just someone just nasty for nasty's sake, for no reason at all.
Yikes.
Beyond just even the realm of professionalism. I mean, just very strange. Anyway, so this lawyer you had basically did absolutely nothing for a couple of months and then told you he's going to retire, right?
Yeah, so he sent me an email about a month out of mediation and said, oh, hey, talked to the other prick attorney. He won't agree to anything. And by the way, I'm retiring, so I'm going to push you off on one of my partners, or you can go off and find somebody else. And at this point, since nothing had been done, and I was getting pushed around and my lawyer was getting pushed around, I figured it was time to call Adam back and really take the bull by the horn, so to speak, in this case.
Okay, so we turned it around. I really appreciate that. Now, you said you had some kind of a personal transformation in the middle of all this?
Yeah, I just, the whole thing between finding out about an affair to finding out about hiding money to, setting up the secret fund for a lawyer, all of this really, once I got past the, oh my God, I can't believe she fucking did this to me, it made me realize that I'm better than this. I don't need this shit. I don't need her. I don't need some ugly woman like that telling me what to do, getting mad at me for not cleaning screen doors or windows in the house because I can't read her fucking mind anymore. I'm done with it. I'm done with it, and I just woke up one day.
It reminds me that we have a great Tom Likas moment in history.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there, by the way, but I wish I was. But Tom is 6 years old or 8 years old, and he's in his apartment in the Bronx, and he looks around and he says, I'm better than this. This is not for me. This is not the life that I expect to have for myself. Right? Isn't that you?
That's me.
Yeah.
Is that him too?
That's what I'm trying to say.
You say Gerard is like that.
Yeah. The two of you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think I gotta tell you, Gerard, I mean, I've met her. She's not worth the trouble. And
not at all.
And when you talk about, being beaten down, all the things that you talk about, Tom, being constantly criticized and everything you do is wrong and all this bullshit, we're supposed to read her mind and whatever he's doing, here's a guy who's been very faithful to her and decent. They have a child together. He makes a good living. The two of them had a nice house, a nice lifestyle,
right.
And she just pissed on everything. Absolutely pissed on everything, miserable, angry, blames everything on him, completely unappreciative of everything. I mean, did I miss anything?
No, I don't think so. Oh, and then stopped having sex with me 9 months before she decided to leave. So.
Tom, that goes without saying.
Wow.
And we have some pretty serious evidence that she was fooling around as well. Wasn't she, I think, you found proof that she was unfaithful, right?
Yeah, I did.
And how did she react completely. When you confronted her?
Oh, she's when I confronted her, I said, how's so-and-so doing? And she was like, who? What? What are you talking about? And tried to play it off. And I just said, don't play dumb with me. Like, I've found it all out.
Yeah.
And then she continued and continued and continued to deny it and deny it and deny it. And then... And then as I told her more evidence that I had found, she said, well, it's not an affair. It's just a friend. And so tried to play that route with me, which was just complete bullshit.
And what do you think about that, Tom? A woman tries to conceal a quote-unquote friendship with a guy, okay, and the husband discovers it, and she's like, oh, he's just my friend. We're supposed to accept this, right?
Right.
This is nonsense.
Can't a girl have friends?
Yeah, that must be it, especially when you don't tell me
You're
about
them. You're so controlling, always needing to know where I am when I'm missing and what I'm doing and who I'm with all the time. How dare you?
Did that sound like her?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what they all sound like.
I'm the big bad wolf. I'm the big bad wolf because I dared figure it out and confront her about it.
Then I think after one of our court hearings, a couple of days later, you called me, I think, somewhere along the line, just sort of out of the blue, and you said that you saw like a new version of yourself, or you were like emerging. How did that go?
Oh, that was when I saw this girl who walked in and thinks she was all hot to trot at a place that I was just doing. I was doing some work at, and I was sitting around, and these two guys sitting at the other end of the bar, not swimsuit models or, a couple bigger guys sitting at the end of the bar. And they just lean over and they said hi to her and said, hey, how are you doing tonight? Hi. And her comment was, I'm sorry, I have a boyfriend. And, I turned to her and I said, these are the women that make every other one look horrible. And I just asked her, I asked her if she was brought up with manners, and she just didn't know what to say. She said, what? And I said, were you raised with any manners? Because the world I live in, when somebody says hi, you say hi back. You don't say I have a boyfriend.
Dude,
and if you want to be left alone, go sit at a table. Don't sit at the bar.
Yeah, you grew your balls, man.
So I got asked to leave that certain establishment. But, you know, I felt very good in myself, even though it wasn't directed towards me. Just looking at someone being like, why are you such a fucking bitch?
See, that's what I would say.
Yeah. Didn't they throw you out of the bar, as I recall?
Yeah, they did. They absolutely.
I didn't like that song.
It was amazing.
She complained.
Jesus.
We have to make every space in this world a female-friendly space.
I hear these stories, Adam. Why would I ever want to get married? Ever?
Anyways, it's great talking to you, man. So I really felt, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but I really felt that there was a real evolution. And it hasn't been that long since the first time we spoke, and now, you know, it's only a couple of months. But you sound like a different guy. You really do. And I mean, you realize, do you look back and you realize how beaten down you were? I mean, like you got to tell the boys. It's important. Think about a guy a year ago.
Oh, I mean, I was just a, like I said earlier, just a complete pussy, a limp snot that was just going along with everything and dealing with the criticism, dealing with the, you know, make sure you, you know, feed the dogs, feed the kid, do this, clean that, going along with everything. And then being an even whinier limp snot when she says, I don't want to be around. And I'm, don't put up with that, guys. I swear to God, if you've got that fucking spidey sense that something's going on. Because I had it about 3 or 4 times, and every single time I was right, something was going on. And if you want somebody who's going to actually represent you, no bullshit, and tell you how it is, whether you like it or not, Adam's the guy for you. And he not only cares for you as a person, but also as your case as
Thanks,
well.
Man.
And I appreciate the transformation he's helped me turn into. And I feel like, you know, like you just said, I grew my balls back. And it has only been a few months, and I got a lot more strides to go, but it just woke up one day and said, I don't need this. I don't need to feel this way. I don't need to be treated this way. I'm worth a lot more than that. Every other aspect in my life, I am excelling at. Why not this one? It can't be my fault. And if it is my fault, then I need to change something, but it's definitely not with this person.
Right. Wow. That's beautiful, man. I'm going to give you a round of applause. I really mean it. All right, Tom, there
Thank
we
you.
Go.
Yeah,
we love you, man. I really do. We're gonna take care of your case and everything, but I'm so happy. I mean, I know it's silly, whatever, and you know, obviously we have a business relationship, you know, so
right.
You know, I'm your attorney, but I'm so happy that I played a part and you were able to kind of rediscover, you know, where you were going in life. And I mean, this woman could have really taken you down all the way, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And this is a great paradox that guys just do not understand. It's almost like the more you try to please her and the more you sacrifice for her and the more you gave to her and the more you gave in to her, the less and less she respected you and the
right.
more she hated you.
Well, you see, that's true about women, whether you're married
mm-hmm.
to them or not.
Well,
the more attention you give them, the more you spend on them,
yep.
the less they respect you. The less you give them, the less attention you give them, the less money you spend on them, the more they respect you.
That's a fucking enigma. What
that's
that
how
mean?
It is. You know what? Don't fight the feeling. If that's what works, that's what you do. Don't give them money. Don't pay attention to them. Don't give them the time of day. And they can't get enough of you. That's why every guy they ever had sex with in the past, they were all jerks.
He's a jerk.
They were all jerks.
What's the killer? I mean, Tom, as much as I totally agree with you, don't get me wrong. It's like when you're talking about, like, you know, the girls you're talking about dating and so forth, when you're thinking of your wife and whoever that is, okay, I really understand what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing the game with your wife anymore, okay? And if she's, you know, bitching to you that the house is messy, I mean, you're a guy. You're solution orientated. So you say, okay, I'm going to come home an hour early from work, and I'm going to clean the house up because then mm-hmm. she won't get upset. And it's like you do that, and then she's just pissed about something else.
Right.
That's exactly what happened. I started setting myself because I don't have an office I have to go to. I'm mobile on my own. I set myself an alarm every day to look around and clean up an hour and a half before she got home, and then it was something else. And then
yeah.
it was something else. So it's just never fucking satisfied.
Yeah, but see, that's very counterintuitive. As a man, you know, you figure she must love you too. What the fuck did she marry you for? I mean, seriously. I mean, she's
yeah.
making you miserable, but isn't she also making herself miserable? It's like, it's illogical. It's like, okay, look, honey, I know you're upset about the house being messy. Look what I did. You know, like a child, your mother yells at you, clean up your frickin' room, and you clean up your room, right? Mm-hmm. And your mom says, you know, you're such a good boy. I'm so glad you cleaned the room because it was, you know, I mean, you say to your wife, you know, you've been bitching at me about the garage being a mess. Look what I did. I cleaned the garage. And she literally looks at you and says, you're still a fucking loser.
Yeah, and go mow the fucking lawn now.
Oh, my.
Anyways, so God bless her. Let me tell you, I think she hooked up with some loser, and I hope she chokes on him. I really do. And she lost the best man that she ever was going to have, you, the father of her child and someone who truly cared about her, and she was too stupid to know it. And I'll tell you something, she's going to regret it for the rest of her life.
Yeah, well. That's her life. She's got to live.
Good.
It's not a part of mine anymore.
Good. I'm glad you moved on.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
Talk to you again soon.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming
on.
You're really an inspiration.
Thank you.
I hope that I can help people out because, you know, I don't want to see anybody go through the bullshit that I went through. It's just not fair.
Agreed.
Word to the wise.
Sounds good to me. Thank you so much, Gerard.
Take care, man. I'll talk
to you
later.
I appreciate the call. There he goes. Wow.
Is that a great one or what?
What a story.
You know, Tom, it just seems so pointless sometimes, like plowing the ocean, man. It's like you're trying and you're trying and you're trying, and what for? And here's a guy that really, really, you know these guys that are pricks or whatever?
Yeah.
Here's a guy that really loved her, really tried his best, you know? He's not perfect. Okay, fine. But she's not perfect either. And she really got into this thing, and they were only married for a couple of years. And she just, like, got nasty about absolutely everything. Just a miserable, bitchy, scrunched-up-looking face. You know, one of these pissed-off people? It's like, what's the point? Why bother?
Right.
So he made the break.
We're going to take a break here. I'm going to take some calls, and they are coming in,
all
by
right.
the way, for Adam Sachs.
Glad to hear it.
Adam here every Tuesday for a bonus hour, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And in this particular segment, it's about family law. Divorce, child custody, child support, prenups, postnups, and, of course, those restraining orders.
I did one today.
You did?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Well, we did something unique. We're going to talk about this in the future, but I did the restraining order on behalf of the father against the mother, and we won.
Really?
Yes. So right. That's a whole different ball game.
All right.
Tell you all about it in the future, I promise.
All right, good. 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM, free legal advice from family law attorney Adam Sachs. If you call right now, it's 901-3000-866.
Serving the universe from an old laundromat in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Here you go. Just what you need to kick off your summer. Foco Liz is back with brand new additions to the Foco clothing line at focou-focome.com. T-shirts, tops, tanks, and accessories for both guys and chicks, all designed by Liz and made with high-quality material. Grab yourself a classic tee in sizes small to double XL. Or check out the accessories, including wristbands, hats, bags, and more, for you or to give as a gift. It's all Foco, and it's all at the right price. Show your support for an original P1 who has not only supported the show for years, but has fed the content kitty with those gems you'll never forget. Show her some love at focou-focome.com today. It's the complete line of everything Foco, but the ceviche, of course, at focou-focome.com.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry, you're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor.
Boys, get the edge over your fantasy football opponents who just use canned cheat sheets available to anyone. Use Fantasy Football Draft-O-Matic 2014. You can quickly customize your fantasy football cheat sheets with this easy-to-use spreadsheet. It's fully automated. Just enter your league's parameters, click Rank Players, and pow! An instant cheat sheet with player rankings using the powerful value-based drafting technique. Unlike other spreadsheets, the Fantasy Football Draft-O-Matic uses current season projections and your league specifications. Projections are updated regularly, and they're so confident that you're going to love Fantasy Football Draft-O-Matic that they'll give you a 180-day money-back guarantee. 180 days. Go to XLDraft.com today. That's EXCEL, XLDraft.com. It's compatible with Microsoft Excel 2007 to 2013 for Windows and Excel 2011 for Mac. Fantasy Football Draft-O-Matic 2014 at XLDraft.com. Again, that's EXCELDraft.com. Order now before the draft. You'll be glad you did.
Have a time.
The Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. 901-3000 Tom. That's our telephone number if you've got questions. And we remind you, don't wait till the end of the hour. I have a business dinner tonight, so I can't stay till 8 o'clock waiting for your call to come in.
That's you going to run out of here, Tom?
I have to tonight, Adam, because
701?
I got a big business meeting tonight, right after I get out of here, somewhere in West Hollywood. And so I will have to leave. And so all those people are sitting there contemplating it, thinking about it, nervously putting their finger in the first number and then not dialing. Now's the time. 901-3000, Tom. Yes, 901-3000-TOM is the number. 901-3000-866. If you've got legal questions, Adam Sachs, family law attorney, he will answer your questions right now. By the way, let's talk a little bit about what has happened in divorce last 6 or 7 years. Based on, we've had a lousy economy.
Yeah.
Although they love to say on CNBC how the economy is getting better and better, and that we, the S&P 500 went over 2,000 for the first time, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know, Tom.
But a lot of people I know are not doing that well financially.
I don't think as many people own stocks as they used to.
I guarantee it.
Well, there are some people that are riding the S&P all the way up.
Yes.
You know that divorce is supposed to go up when the economy is doing better. But, you know, they just said that the divorce industry, which is a big industry, is actually bigger than the wedding industry now.
There you go. So
that should tell you something right off the bat.
Yes. Well, as I've said on the show, and I'll say it with you here, George Washington, the father of our country,
yes,
one of his innovations as the president, the first president of the United States, was that he instituted the U.S. Census. And that was in 1790.
That's in the Constitution.
Little history here, okay? A little history lesson. Now, here's the deal. In that first census, which has continued every 10 years, every year ending in zero, they have asked questions, and there have been more and more questions added to the census. It's become very intrusive, and I try to avoid it every 10 years. But
you know, I threw it away, and they got nasty.
They do get nasty. Because they get paid for every completed census form. That's
why
they get nasty.
Yeah. They're not kidding around.
All right, so here's the deal. In the first census, one of the things they checked out was to find out what percentage of Americans were married or not married. And the overwhelming majority of adults in 1790 were married. And that majority continued through the years, 1800, 1810, 1820, 1900, 1910, 1920. Literally, from 1790 to the year 2000, that census, there were more married adults than unmarried. Until 2010. And the big change in the census in 2010 was, for the first time in American recorded history,
ever,
more
single adults, then married. And single includes divorced and what have you.
Right.
So society has changed a lot. Now, of course, a lot of people live with somebody, and so that kind of muddies the waters a little bit. They're not married, but they do live together. There are women out there who will start using the guy's name, even if they're not married. If they're Hispanic, they will always refer, after, you know, 5 minutes, they will refer to the boyfriend as my husband.
Or my fiancé, at least.
Frequently using his last name, even though it is not her last name.
Well, you have some Lycuses floating around, right?
There is still one left.
Okay.
Another one got married, but
too
yes,
bad.
Yes.
Well, she hung on for a while, though, with the Lycus name.
She did? Well, the one who hung on for a while is still hanging on to it.
Yeah.
She still did. Others kept it for a while and then, you know, moved on. The next boyfriend or the next husband said, what are you doing?
Right.
Why do you have this guy's name? What if people find out you used to be with Tom Lycus? You can't do that. So there's a lot of that. Yes, so what I'm saying is that there's an awful lot of people now who are not getting married anymore. You know, we talk about that, but the reality is it's at both ends of the spectrum. Millennials have lived through a divorce. They saw what happened with their parents.
Right.
The economy has been shitty for most of their adult lives. And so a lot of them are holding off on getting married if they're ever going to. And then a lot of people on the older end have already been married, and they don't want to get remarried because they've got assets now to protect.
Yeah.
They don't want to, you know, meet somebody at Sun City and then finally find themselves in divorce court with that person. So there's a lot of people who are just shacking up in their 60s and 70s. They're still doing it. And Viagra, you know, that's changed the whole equation for a lot of people, from what I can tell. So I was wondering, like, what, you know, you've been doing this a long time. What has changed in the world of divorce since you started?
Oh, women are nastier than ever, Tom.
Really?
Of course.
I thought they were always nasty. Always.
Now, there's much more of a sense of destruction, I think. I think that there was a time when there was sort of this thing where you were supposed to part company and shake hands or whatever, and 50-50, you know, split everything up, you know, literally. We got $100 in the bank. I'll take 50. You take 50. Not anymore. A woman today wants to take it all.
Right.
And she's not going to be satisfied with you moving on with your life and starting over. She wants you destroyed. Didn't you have a woman say, I'm gonna ruin your career or whatever?
I did.
There you go.
But isn't that about, no offense, but isn't that about what the attorneys tell them?
Maybe so. I'm not offended.
It's my opinion that many of these guys are trying to foment dissent because they get paid by the hour.
Sure. I think that that's true. You know, there's also a level where even if your attorney suggests that, you wouldn't say yes. You know, remember this conversation we had where the attorney said, you know, look how much you're giving up, you know. So, I mean, there is a certain logic where, you know
how much you could be getting.
Right. So, I mean, there's certainly some logic that kind of crosses over. But there's got to be a place where you tell your attorney, look, I just want a divorce. I don't want to ruin the guy. I don't have an interest in that. He's still the father of my children, you know. That doesn't translate now. And when a woman puts the screws to a guy, you know, she's fucking over the next woman. Because someday he's going to date another woman who's going to want to get married. And he's going to say, no way. I already tried that.
Right.
There's no way. And, you know, that sort of stands in place. It's terrible.
Well, not to mention the fact you have these guys who have one or two kids with the first wife, and then they get in with somebody else, and then they got one or two kids. And then you got the wives clawing each other's eyes out about who gets more money, whose kids are more important.
Yeah.
And come on. We all know whose kids are more important. The second wife's kids are more important.
I don't know. You know, I've seen some really strange stuff where there's a lot of edge where the second wife or the first wife really hates the children and the woman, you know, the other wife or whatever it is. And in particular, the first wife will say that she doesn't want her children to be around the new girlfriend or the new wife. And I saw a case where the guy had another child, which obviously is the half-sister of the first kids.
Right.
And the mother would call them the stepsister. She'd say it was the stepsister. And I'd say to her in court, it's not the stepsister, it's half-sister. But she felt somehow that that was, like, less, you know, she's your stepsister.
Right.
Because she didn't want to acknowledge that they actually were half-sisters. They were actually related by blood, you know. I mean, That's just nasty. There was some theory at one time was that, you know, you would marry the wrong person and you get a divorce, you fix the problem, and then you marry someone who's more appropriate for you.
The reality is, in today's society, they're all the wrong person. Every one of them.
Oh, dear.
That's the way it is. Period.
Thank you too much for your optimism there, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not here to be optimistic. I'm here to be realistic.
The truth of the matter is that people are still going to get married. That's it. You talk about having
they
kids.
They are.
Well, the poor and the stupid, right?
So, the poor and the stupid. And they're the ones going to be having all the kids, too.
I guess. You know, we need population, I suppose.
They're like human Xerox machines. They just keep reproducing.
Yeah, but somebody's got to change the tires, right? I mean, come on.
Well, there you go. I'm going to need somebody to give me that $7.99 car wash at Costco.
You know,
so please keep knocking up your girlfriends.
I got to tell you about Costco, Tom. I know you're a big fan.
I am.
I shop there, too. You know, they were comparing Costco with Walmart.
Right.
And Costco actually really pays like a good wage and gives good benefits, you know, much more so than Walmart.
Right.
So before
so
you,
why doesn't everybody work at Costco?
I'm telling you, they get treated very well, apparently, the employees there. So,
all right. So why don't they all go work there?
I don't know, but some do, I suppose.
Why are you working at Sam's Club if you could be working at Costco?
I don't know. There are those that work at Sam's Club.
You're not a Costco kind of person. You're not Costco material.
All I'm saying is that when you're trashing these guys for their shitty job at Costco, it's not such a shitty job.
Well, it's shitty compared to other jobs you could have.
Okay.
Right?
You're a tough guy, Tom.
I mean, look, it's better than a Walmart job. All right? By the way, I'm usually talking about Pep Boys. That's usually what I'm talking about.
That's another great
any
place.
Guys who know, any guy who knows what aisle the STP is on at Pep Boys is a loser. I look into your eyes and I see the back of your head. That's what I see.
No, any guy who gets married is a loser, okay?
No, but see, the guys I've known at Pep Boys, you know they all knocked up their girlfriend. You know, they knocked up the hottest chick in school when she was 16, and now she's 165 pounds and saying, are all you're going to be is a windshield wiper salesman? Is that all you're going to be?
You know.
All right, 901-3000, Tom, that's our telephone number. Jeremy in Los Angeles, you're on with Adam Sachs.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hello, Tom, and hello, Adam.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, guys, I have a question for Adam regarding...
sure.
I've heard horror stories that you've talked about on the air where after a divorce, the guy is paying alimony, he makes more money, he gets a better job, or his pay gets increased, and then she takes him back to court,
right?
And can actually demand more money.
Right.
I'm curious to know what happens in the opposite situation. Can the guy successfully do the opposite? Let's say he loses his job and he
right.
makes less money. Can he go back to court successfully and request to pay less?
Right, I understand. Okay, so basically when you do the divorce, you set an order, which is a court order, which is either, let's say, for alimony or child support or both, right? And it's,
right.
you know, I don't know, X number of dollars a month, right? Now,
right.
that order, people need to know this, you know, that order remains in place, period. You know, that's the order. And so guys will lose their job and not pay support for a year or two, and they'll say, well, I didn't have any money because I was unemployed. But that order is still in place unless you do something about it. So everything else becomes an arrearage. Now, it's very, very normal that a woman is allowed to go back to court very frequently, like once a year if she wants. And if she hears that you've gotten the big promotion, she can go back to court and ask for more money. It's also based on her needs. If things have changed, if the child, let's say, developed special needs, you can ask for more support. Or if she's having different issues and she can't work or she loses her job, then she can ask for more support for herself. And the opposite is also theoretically true, but it's very difficult. Now, there were a lot of people that were making big incomes in the 2000s, and we had this real estate boom, and people were selling mortgages and doing all this other stuff. And in 2008, when it kind of fell apart and collapsed, there were a whole lot of people that had these big payments that they could no longer make. The problem is when you go to court to ask it to be reduced, you have this crying woman talking about how she's dependent on the money and she needs the money and you're the biggest asshole in the world because you want to cut off your support for your children. Right?
Unbelievable.
So I would say you definitely can get it reduced. It requires what's called a change of circumstances. But for a guy to try to get support reduced is always going to be an uphill battle.
I would imagine so. Now, I have a request. If you could ever do this, this would be great.
Okay.
There are so many books on the horror stories that men go through in family law. I think it'd be great.
Make
if
a book
you
list.
Could write a book.
Oh.
On the success stories and the justice that men got against some of these bitches.
It's going to be a very short book, I think.
Oh, man.
I think guys get screwed a lot of the time, honestly.
It's available on Kindle.
I was thinking it's not a book, it's a pamphlet, you know?
Well, yeah.
But well, Thank you so much.
Yeah,
no, I brought Tom, one of my favorites tonight, which is I Hate You, Don't Leave Me.
Right.
So we're going to dig into that later. That's a great book about dealing with crazy women.
Absolutely. Let me get Devin in here. Devin? In Sunnyvale. Hello.
Hi, a question for Adam and Tom as well.
Hey, Devin, how are you?
Coming on after the last conversation. But anyways, getting married next summer, I need to ask sort of how to approach the prenuptial agreement conversation with her.
What are you doing, man? How old are you?
29.
I mean, is she the greatest? What's going on? What happened? You've been struck by lightning?
She makes substantially more than I do. Yeah good girl.
You've ever been to Thailand?
Until you get married.
Yeah, yes, I have, actually. That's another story.
Wait till you get married, and she's like, well, I want to stay home with the kids.
Right. Well, no, which is definitely my fear that, you know, 5 or 10 years from now, she has a couple kids and says, you know, well, I've been working, making all this money, and now it's your turn, so...
Well, I mean, one of the things that surprises a lot of guys, I mean, you cannot believe how much motherhood changes a woman. Seriously.
No, absolutely.
There's a big expression, which is that men get married, you know, hoping that the woman will never change, and she does. And women get married hoping that the man is going to change, and he doesn't. You know, so when you talk about, you know, whatever the circumstances are, marriage is, you know, for a long time, and we have longer lifespans than we ever had. If you're 30... You got to figure you might live to be 80 or 90. Are you realistically going to be able to be with this woman for 60 years? I mean, seriously, think about that. Think about all the trials and tribulations and the changes and circumstances and so forth. Now, I got this, Gustavo, right? The Mexican?
Yes.
Yes, Gustavo and I got into it over this because he got married and we tried to talk him out of it and he wanted to work on a prenuptial agreement and everything. I got to tell you, you know, I wouldn't even dream about getting married without a prenuptial agreement. You have to have one, but it's something that can really, really screw things up for you. You know, that you're talking about what would happen in the event of a divorce. And, you know, Tom used to have a box of them on the porch that he would give to girls. So to dissuade
them. They were collated at Kinko's back in the day. Kinko's. They were 32 pages. So that was not easy to set up. I had to get the 32-page agreement printed and collated. And
I love Kinko's. So I went to Kinko's today.
Really? Yeah, now they call it FedEx office, I think. But it's the same thing. But the point is, literally, there was a cardboard box in my front door, and it had written in magic marker on the side of the box, it said, take one. And every chick that came over, I'd say, before you leave, why don't you take one of those?
Grab one of these, baby.
Yeah.
Because I love you so much.
Because, you know, if I ever get married, you're going to be seeing one of these. I just want you to get used to the idea of it.
You know, just so broadly speaking, you know, you're going to have to spend some serious money on it. You know, you have to have a videographer. You might want to get it witnessed by a judge, the ceremony of signing it. She's going to need her own lawyer. And you're going to have to go over all these details of your relationship and what's going to happen in the event of a divorce and that you don't want alimony.
Right, but other than just the procedural stuff, is this something just to drop on her on a Wednesday or something at dinner on a Saturday night?
Well, that's not a legal question. That's where I'm going to step in.
Here's Tom's answer.
Here's when you drop it in the beginning, as fast as possible. And by the way, you have to. Here's what your attitude has to be. If she says no, you tell her there's the door and that's it. You have to do it.
Wow.
That's what you have to do.
That's discipline, man.
Yeah.
You have to do it.
Okay.
You know, so you can't go in there going, I don't know if I want to mention it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. You know what? It's never a bad day for the truth. You tell her that this is the one and only way she's going to get what she wants.
Are you able, I mean, do you have the discipline to walk away? I mean, if she really starts bitching about it and doesn't want to do it or whatever, are you able to turn your back? That's a heavy shit, man.
The way Tom said, and really front it with how important this is to me before I kind of get into the topic. I'm with you, but I'm talking about
the opposite. If it really goes south, okay, and she just says to you, you know, you're an asshole, I can't believe you even asked me, blah, 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 whatever.
You don't even trust me.
All right, however that goes, are you really willing to do that that discipline and say, you know what, fine, then I'm going, or vice versa?
You know? Yeah, I'm going to have to, definitely.
All right, well, I give you a lot of credit, man. I think that's hard, that's hard to do.
You know, I don't foresee that happening, because, you know, currently she makes substantially more than I do, so I don't really hear her being adverse to it now, but like you said, 10 years from now, if she talks to the right attorney, that'll turn her on to the fact that, you know, it could be against her interest in the future, but I don't know, we'll see.
I just think money and romance just do not mix.
Yeah. All right. Well, appreciate it. Thanks for the help, guys.
Not at all.
Thank you, Devin. I would take a break.
Well, there you go, Tom. That's the heavy stuff right there.
I know. But you really have to have that attitude. You know, because so many of these guys, what if she says no? Oh, my God. She says no, she's the wrong person for you, period.
No,
end of story.
To what he's talking about, you know, should I ask her on a Wednesday? You know,
because he's afraid to ask her at all.
So when's the right time? There is no right time.
Now is the right time. Today.
Sooner the better, right?
Right. You know what? If you have to have a wart removed, better to have it filled right off. If you know what I mean.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Football season is just around the corner, and you could get your piece of $5 million during kickoff week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. They tell me one player won $1 million in one day just playing fantasy football. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Use promo code TOM101 and get free entry into the week one $5 million kickoff bash. Enter TOM101 for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino show. Probably because that Dino won't stop doing stupid stuff.
Dino will now eat one tablespoon of cinnamon. I know it sounds stupid and easy, but there it is. It's now in the mouth, and he's attempting to make something of it. Come on, dude. You can... Come on. Come on, dude.
Don't let him stop.
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
It can't happen that fast.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Breathe through your nose, dude.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Sorry, guys, believe what you will, but alcoholism is not a disease, and AA is not the only way. Take back control of your life with the help of Paul Beatty and Sydney counselors. You know Paul. He calls from Sydney all the time. Well, Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, these are not meetings in basements with bad coffee and donuts. This is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, not just alcohol and other addictions, but depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, great. You can meet face-to-face for counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there right now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
Hammer time!
The Tom Likas Show. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, definitely give me a call at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320, and I do answer my own phone. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Works for me.
Love the email.
Love that. adam@adamlawyer.com. Adam Sachs every Tuesday, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. You like to call Adam live with your legal question? Call him Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowinguptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beers.
I'm Dana Jacobson.
Yay.
Beer Magazine. New study shows that couples who smoke weed are less likely to engage in domestic violence. Because they're all fucking stoned.
Because they're high and hungry.
It's all good.
High and hungry.
It's all good.
Never violent.
Weed is a lot of things, but violence is generally something not connected with.
Right. Rarely do you read weed and then followed by domestic violence.
Yeah.
Rarely.
Yeah.
I mean, synthetic weed, and we're a whole other ballgame.
Sure.
That's not weed. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're talking about marijuana.
Wonder what the statistics are for booze. Yeah, it must be unbelievable.
I'm sure that's almost weighted.
Almost everyone
yeah.
who is involved in a domestic violence situation has...
I shot my wife in the stomach with a 38.
Has had at least one.
She enticed me and ridiculed me throughout my lifetime.
Our friend came straight off. Freddie came straight off the fucking mower.
Yeah, that's right. Freddie got a DUI. Freddie Wilhite got a DUI on a Ryder lawnmower.
I shot my wife in the stomach with 38.
Why did he do this?
She enticed me and she ridiculed me throughout my lifetime. I say she's alive.
She's alive?
Yeah. I think she's dead.
I Freddie, think she did.
Mr. Wilhite, would you like a bong hit, sir?
I love my wife.
Let's see if we can take the edge off just a little.
I love my wife.
I know you've been enticed.
Can I get a Whataburger?
And ridicule.
I love my wife. Whataburger, cheeseburger.
Yeah, man. A newlywed couple charged in the stabbing death of a stranger they lured through Craigslist.
Yeah.
Offering a companionship, pleaded guilty to murder.
Yeah, this is a warning to everybody on Craigslist looking for that third person to make things special in their relationship.
Yeah.
I guess our friend was hiding under a blanket in the back seat and then basically strangled the dude.
Don't get your sex off of Craigslist. I know there'll be some jackasses calling in and say it's great, it's fantastic, and they get like, I know Big Shot.
Yeah. All right.
Wait till you get fucking beheaded.
Right. You ain't
I don't mean just the head of your penis. I mean your head.
Yeah. You ain't no Paul from Sydney, asshole.
No. This is amazing news. After 36 years, Neil Young getting a divorce. Neil Young.
Oh, man, take a look at my life.
Then Peggy Young, you know, they had a kid with, like, cerebral palsy. And they started the school together.
Yep. Neil Young even had enough. 36 years, I'm done with Peggy.
Yeah. You know that song, that Unknown Legend song.
Oh, is that about her?
That's about her.
Oh, no way. I used to work in a diner.
She used to work.
I used to watch her. I've been singing Neil Young for years on this stinking show. Come on. I can't believe our friend's done.
She actually has a couple solo albums. I don't think that they went anywhere at all. She toured for a little while and stuff. But 36 years.
Yeah. Well,
I hope Neil goes out and gets some fresh.
Well, here's the thing. She grew up in a small town. She never put her roots down. Yeah, our friend's done.
And by the way, I cannot take it anymore. Pam Anderson now apparently calling off the divorce with Rick Solomon. She's looking to petition to get that thing tossed.
To stop the madness. Yeah, she filed for divorce in July, but then petitioned the Superior Court of California today to have her divorce dismissed.
Yeah. Nutty. Finally, a pick alert for you. Robin Thicke is they're not together.
No, that's his ex now.
Right.
Don't even try to get back.
Paula Patton out on the town in what turns out to be a completely see-through dress.
Patently amazing breasts. Yeah, yeah. Come out.
If you you know, if you're right in front of those paparazzi flash bulbs, boom, you see right through that thing. It's not all that impressive, but if you
oh, I like it. They're actually held back.
I like it.
Look at that. I used to order just to watch her float across the floor.
There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Oh, man, take a look at my life.
Be sure to check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Welcome to one of our newest sponsors. It's DatingTricks.com. That's DatingTricks.com. Now, you know your professor has been saying for years that one of the greatest ways to trick chicks is to put your number on the back of an ATM receipt with a large balance. It's a classic, and we know it works because we hear from guys who pull it off all the time. But I'll admit, hunting around for an ATM receipt with a good balance can be a real drag. Well, now the boys at DatingTricks.com have you covered. Realistic-looking ATM receipts with large random balances delivered to your door. Done. You got to see it work for yourself. Visit DatingTricks.com today. That's DatingTricks with an X.com and receive 3 free additional fake ATM receipts per shipment when you enter this promo code. Tom101, okay? The promo code for Dating Tricks is Tom101. You've been hearing about this forever. Now here's an easy and fun way to put it to the test. Remember, Tricks is spelled with an X. It's DatingTricks.com. Check it out today, DatingTricks.com.
This is the new normal.